In the year 2448 since creation, the people of Israel stood on the threshold of entering the land promise, the land that God had promised to our fathers Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov of Israel. The story is told in the Torah portion, Shlach Lecha, which means send on your behalf, for God had instructed Moshe to send a representative from each of the tribes of Israel into the land promised to scout out the land and bring back a report.
While the first two, Yehoshua and Caleb, had a mindset of a free man and was ready to take what is rightfully theirs under the instructions of the Most High, the other ten, unfortunately, had a flip side. They saw the obstacles, and rather the challenges and the hard tasks that comes with the price of freedom, and they did not see the benefits. This was so hard on them that they wanted everyone else to feel what they were feeling.
We were slaves in Egypt, and unfortunately, we were still slaves by this time. Now, there are two types of slavery. There's the slave by force, which is how we began our lives as slaves in Egypt. We were slaves by force after being free citizens, and then we discovered that we were slaves by choice. Slaves by choice will resent opportunities, an opportunity to be a free man and encounter the challenges of freedom. The 10 representatives from the other tribes came back with a report that was, as the scripture says, a wicked report. While Yahshua of the tribe of Ephraim and Caleb of the tribe of Judah were excited and incited, anxious to go in immediately and take possession of the land, they had no doubt that God would do for them in the land promise what he had done in the land of slavery. They had remembered all of the miracles of God, and they felt nothing but confidence and trust for our God.
But unfortunately, the others, they wanted no tasks, they wanted no obstacles, they didn't want any of the challenges because they weren't free. They may have been taken out of Egypt, but Egypt was not taken out of them.
Well said.
They were still there. So they wanted to go back to a lifestyle where they knew what each day would bring, a lifestyle that they had expected. And unfortunately, that lifestyle involved them in chains and someone else holding the chains. But here were two problems to their idea. The Egypt that they lived in was no longer the same because, as it was said in the scriptures in the book of Shemot, or Exodus as most people remember it, the Most High said to the people, "The Egyptians that you see today, you will no longer see again." There was nothing left of the Egypt that held them as slaves. So if they were to go back there, there would be nothing for them there because it was been taken over by other tribes, other people of a different race. And let's say for the sake of argument that that's not the case, that maybe Egypt is still there. Would they really be happy to see us after the 10 plagues?
I doubt it seriously. And yes, because the land of Mitzrayim, known as Egypt, had been ruled under various ethnic groups. And the one that we had known as slaves was no longer in control. You bring down a nation's military, you have brought down their government.
Not to mention the leader has no firstborn because he's been killed off in the 10th plague. Their produce is practically,
annihilated. Because of the plagues. So, but all the people of Israel at that time could think of was going back to government dependency. You see, a person who is not free in their minds and in their hearts, as you said, they're going to resent opportunities of freedom. They're going to resent the challenges that come with freedom. And they incited the people to feel the same way. They gave their report to them. And the scripture says that the people cried out in dismay and wept all night. By the next morning, they were feeling like victims. And they needed someone to blame. So the first thing they decided they were going to do, after even accusing God and saying, "Why has Adonai brought us here to be killed by the sword?" After a suicidal thoughts of, "I wish, we had died in the wilderness," or they said they wished that they had died in Egypt and had never been delivered from slavery.
It's funny how they say we're here to die in the wilderness. Be careful what you wish for. But back on topic, they were ready to democratically elect, mind you, a new leader, one,
yes,
that would send them back to Egypt.
Exactly. And they were ready to bring down Moshe and Aaron, the appointed leaders who had been appointed by God over the people of Israel. Now, I guess you would say, in a way of speaking, they wanted to impeach Moshe and Aaron, and they wanted to elect their own government. Now, impeachment is possible when there's been an election. However, Moshe and Aaron had not been elected. Not only did they want to bring down their leadership, but they wanted to eradicate their faith in God and even the practice of believing and serving God. These are the people who had once said, Kol medeber Adonai na'aseh v'nishma. All that the Lord has said, we will do and we will learn to understand. But they were ready to cast that down and throw away religion.
Making every miracle that happened in the desert and making every plague that happened in Egypt, all the wonders and the fascinating events that happened, it would have all been for nothing.
Right. Caleb spoke up and begged the people, don't do this. Don't rebel against God. This is the land that he promised, and we're well able to go in.
And we're so close.
Hey, we're at the threshold, and we're well able to go in and take possession of the land. And Caleb and Joshua's attitude was that even if they try to fight against us, the same God who was with us when he delivered us from the house of bondage in Egypt will be with us now.
But their fear was firm.
And they plotted to not only overthrow the living God and his kingdom over them. We were truly at this moment about to become one nation under God. Right. But this was canceled. God spoke to Moshe at this, and it says that his presence appeared before the people, his glory appeared, and he wanted to know why were they showing contempt for him by not believing, by not trusting him. Why? Because we were still slaves. We, as we say at Passover, we were slaves in Egypt. And at this point, it became known that we were now not slaves just by force. We were now slaves by choice. And we wanted to go back to a government dependency life. We wanted the government to provide us with shelter, with clothing, with sustenance, with health care, with everything. We did not want the challenges. We did not want the opportunities, no matter how difficult they might seem at first, that comes with being free men.
Because like an animal caged in the zoo, if you've been in captivity your entire life, freedom will be foreign to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we were unable to enter the land. And God told Moshe to tell the people of Israel, because only those who had had the heart of Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim and Caleb of the tribe of Judah, who were exuberantly excited and ready to go in and take possession of the land, only those with their hearts, and it unfortunately was most of those who were 19, who were under the age of 20, but all those with their heart were allowed to live. All the rest fell dead in the desert, in the wilderness. Now, what's also interesting, those 10 who brought back a report, you could say that they were the media of that time, the reporters.
That's one way of looking at it.
Absolutely. Doing what news reporters often do, inciting emotions of resentment and accusive mentality toward the leadership. Like I said, they were wanting to impeach.
And it's always the negative reviews that seem to get people's attention.
Absolutely. But you see, it's as you pointed out, these 10 representatives, they were the representatives and they were the news media. They did not want to face this challenge of going into the land. They did not want to have to trust God. They themselves were overcome with fear, and they wanted the people to feel the same way. So they incited them to do that. And it's really amazing, because when God's judgment fell, the ground began to open beneath them, and this news media, these reporters, and these wicked representatives died that same day for inciting the people to rebel against God and inciting them not to come and take possession of the land as God had told us to do.
Right.
There is a fact that obviously escaped the children of Israel at that time, and that was the statement that was made by the 10 spies. They not only said that they felt like grasshoppers in comparison to these giants in the land, but then they said, And we know they saw us as grasshoppers too. But that's impossible. Because the 12 that were sent in to spy out the land never interacted with the inhabitants. They were told to see, to note, and bring back a report. They said they knew that the inhabitants of the land saw them as grasshoppers. But there were no conversations with them. There was no encountering them. They had not encountered even one. They saw them only from a distance. They had had no interactions with them. There had been no interviews with them. So they assumed that they knew how these people would see them. They actually lied about knowing what the inhabitants were thinking. Now, here is what's very interesting. 40 years later, when the children, those that were under the age of 20, those with the heart of Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim and Caleb of the tribe of Judah, who were willing to go in and take possession of the land, 40 years later, we did finally enter the land. And when we came to the city of Jericho, Joshua this time did not send 12. He sent only 2 into the city of Jericho. And they were told, the 2 spies that went into Jericho were told that the entire city of Jericho knew they were coming and were afraid. Now, this is interesting because this is 40 years later. And they make mention of the fact that they heard about all the works that Adonai had done in behalf of the people of Israel. 40 years later, they're still afraid of the God of Israel. They're still respecting the obvious importance that the people of Israel had in his eyes. Now, just imagine the possibility, or no, the more than probability, that the people living in the land of the promised land, that they would have already been feeling the same thing. For God had told Pharaoh, I've allowed you to live so that you might see my power and that my name might resound throughout the earth. And it had. It had reached more than just the city of Jericho. We know that the king of Moab was afraid of the people of Israel. There were other tribes. There was Og, another king, that was afraid of the people of Israel. There were other tribes that tried to overwhelm us and failed. If we had entered the land on that day, there is every obvious truth that we would have been successful. But we believed not just an exaggeration, we believed an outright lie. How often does news media today do the same thing? How often do we swallow reports and believe them without question? Those of us who are numbered among the people of God have got to learn to believe what Adonai has said to us and act accordingly. We have got to learn to recognize a lie. We've got to learn to question reports that are brought to us, compare it to God's promises, and choose to believe the report of the Lord.